2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Shut him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball.
It's Wednesday, December 7th, 2016. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, brought to you by shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. I'm Bill Furman, and I'll be your host tonight, along with my partner, Jim Chetchesko. And Chet, the Birds might have put us over the edge with that debacle on Sunday in Cincinnati, but on a good note, the Flyers have won six in a row.
Yeah, we'll get to the Flyers, Bill, but yeah, that Sunday Birds loss was pure dreck, reminiscent of those back-to-back November losses a year ago to Tampa Bay and Detroit. I was pretty ticked off watching this latest loss. We'll certainly discuss what's happening on the Eagles front with our guest in just a minute or two.
Well, I knew you were when you sent me a note and said, I can't even write a blog for the website. I'm too irritated. I knew it wasn't a good night for the Chesko family.
Yeah, it was not good. I was not happy.
All right. Hey, and happy Pearl Harbor Day, by the way, December 7th. I don't know if that's a happy occasion, but we don't want to forget that.
75 years ago today. Can you believe that? And, of course, you know, my father and your father were around for it, so they could probably tell a lot of good stories about the nation's reaction at that time.
Yep. And as they say, never forget. Never forget. All right. Well, hey, we're going to break down the Eagles' mess, as we said. We'll talk some Flyers, Sixers, Penn State, and the Big Ten championship, and that effect on the bowl champion or on the Final Four. Matt Rhule leaving for Baylor, and we'll have one of our favorite guests, award-winning Inquirer sports writer Mike Sielski. And also want to let our listeners know that we have a big surprise announcement regarding next week's show that we'll talk about later, Chet.
You got that right. It's going to be a good one.
It sure is, and we will have our Carl's Cards and Collectibles trivia question tonight about 7:24 or so, and we're still going to give away that signed 8x10 photo of Eagles Hall of Famer Maxi Bond to the first person that calls and correctly answers our trivia question. The shopforkisses.org phone line to answer the trivia question is 929-477-2855. That's 929-477-2855. And, Chet, we're going to give this Maxi Bond picture away tonight. I think this trivia question is, if you're paying attention at all, it's going to be hockey, and it's easy.
I saw the question, and before I looked, I did know the answer. So if I know it, anybody knows it, because I don't follow hockey till February. So.
Well, we're aware of that. We're aware of that. But, hey, I wanted to tell you, I think, did we locate Mike? Do we have Mike ready to roll?
I think we do have Mike ready to roll. Let's find out. Mike Sielski, are you there?
I am here, guys. Sorry about that.
Hey Mike.
No problem,
welcome
Mike.
Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, Mike, this is Chet. And when we last had you on in August, we talked about how we're playing a waiting game on the four major Philly pro sports teams as they all try to retool. It doesn't seem that we've made all that much progress in the 4 months since then, does it?
No, it sure doesn't. That Eagles rebuild that seemed to be, on the express line there for the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season has definitely gone local. And, the Phillies are taking their time. The Flyers look a little bit better. And the Sixers certainly seem to have a franchise player if he stays healthy in Joel Embiid. But, I do think, generally speaking, people thought things would be a little further along than they are.
We're going to lead off with the Eagles, of course. We were all kind of fooled, I think, by that 3-0 start. They've lost 7 of 9 since then. And now there's, concerns that maybe some of the guys aren't giving 100%, maybe even quitting on the head coach. I hope that's not the case. What is your take on what's going on these last few weeks, and what is the longer-term outlook for the Eagles?
Well, I think it's a couple things. Number one, I think Carson Wentz is being a rookie quarterback. I mean, I think it was unrealistic for him to maintain the level of play and the pace that he had set through those first 3 weeks. I even wrote that after the season opening win in Cleveland, like everybody kind of cool your jets. look across the field at who the Browns' starting quarterback was, because Robert Griffin III, in his debut with the Redskins in 2012, I guess it was, had a better debut against a better team than Carson Wentz did against the winless Browns. So everybody calm down. And, you know, that's part of it. He's, you know, teams have seen more of him. They know what he can do. They know what he struggles to do, and they're exploiting that. I also think that this is a roster with major, major holes and a giant talent gap between itself and even some mediocre to poor NFL teams. I mean, look at that game against the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday. You know, you can talk all you want about not giving effort, and there certainly seem to be examples of that. You know, Zach Ertz pulling up on a potential block when Wentz is scrambling, that sort of thing. But I always find that often when you look and see a team that looks like it's not giving effort, it's often because they're just getting outplayed, you know, that they are up against a team that has better players. And the Bengals have more talent overall in their roster than the Eagles do. I mean, let's face it, guys, the Eagles need new cornerbacks. They need depth and some new starters probably as of next year along the offensive line. They certainly need help at wide receiver. We're finding out that maybe Wendell Smallwood and Kenyon Barner aren't the answer at running back, certainly over the long term. So, you know, they've got some major, major issues here, and we're finding out that they are going to have to fill them, and it may take a lot longer than we thought, and there's no guarantee that just because you gave up all these picks and players to get a guy who you perceive to be a franchise quarterback and who may yet turn out to be a very good quarterback, that doesn't guarantee anything. And, you know, they've got a ways to go here.
Well, Mike, I think the thing that is troubling me and reading all the things that are out there, and there's a lot of anger about this, I guess, with the Philly faithful, is all the things you just pointed out there, I don't think was really a surprise to too many people back in August. We knew they didn't have receivers. We knew the running backs were suspect and the DBs. But I think the disappointing thing to me is a little bit has been the defensive line play has not been very good. And the linebackers have actually been, I'd say, adequate. But I guess I don't know if the first three games were the reason for the high expectations. But to me, this isn't a surprise.
No, I don't think it's surprising, but I do think it is kind of – it's put in a stark relief just how far they have to go. I don't think anybody went into the season expecting, you know, a division championship or a playoff berth, anything like that. But the fact that they began 3-0 and have not gotten better over the course of the year and have had some recurring problems, you know, discipline penalties, you know, big mistakes at big times – you know, not kind of adjusting back, you know, the offense not adjusting back to some of the adjustments that defenses have made to Wentz and the offense as a whole. I think the big issue for them going forward to me is that they gave up so much to get Wentz. And yes, they got a first-round pick back for Sam Bradford. I get that. But when you surrender that much to get one guy, you make it harder on yourself to fill in the other gaps that might come up in terms of building a complete team. Look at the Atlanta Falcons. They're probably going to be a playoff team this year, okay? 3 years ago, with Matt Ryan as their quarterback, and Matt Ryan is a terrific quarterback and has been for the better part of a decade, they got to the NFC Championship game. The 3 years after that, they didn't make the playoffs. And part of the reason they didn't was because their defense was lousy. Well, why was their defense lousy? Part of the reason was that they gave up 5 draft picks in one draft to go get Julio Jones. Now, Julio Jones might be the best wide receiver in the NFL, but those 5 draft picks could also have been used to help make Atlanta's defense better. And so the Eagles, to me, are facing something similar. They've got to count on Howie Roseman and Joe Douglas and the rest of their player personnel department to nail a higher percentage of draft picks than they have over the last several years. I mean, go back and look at those 2010, 2011 drafts. You know, Brandon Graham has emerged as a very good player, but with the exception of him, you know, who can you look at those two drafts and say, you know, they found, you know, upper-level NFL talent? They didn't find very much, if any.
Going to be interesting to see how the rest of this season plays out for the Eagles. You know, will they just say forget it and lose the next four games, or will they, you know, show some fight and maybe win 3 out of 4, get to 8-8? Who knows? But let's turn our attention, stick with football, but turn our attention now to the college football playoff system, Mike. Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and Washington are in. Penn State, a near miss. What's your take?
You know, my take is that I don't know what the standard is anymore. Not sure that I ever really knew, but I don't know what the standard is for what's supposed to be a tiebreaker between two teams that have comparable advantages, let's say. You know, you look at it, I'm speaking specifically, of course, about Ohio State and Penn State. You know, I'm not a big fan of the eye test. I'm just not. To me, it turns competitive sports with an objective way of determining a winner or a loser. Did you score more points or more runs or score more goals than your opponent into something approximating a beauty contest? Well, I like the way this team looked a little bit more than I like the way the other team looked. And on paper, yeah, and watching them play, yeah, Ohio State passes the eye test in a way that Penn State probably doesn't. And they have the more impressive overall performance over the course of the season. They have some very impressive wins. But Penn State beat them, you know, and I was under the impression that that's supposed to count for something. And I don't want to sound like a Penn State homer here, because I'm not. But we hear this kind of thing all the time where, well, the regular season matters, and if you lose in the regular season, well, that could short-circuit, you know, your hopes of getting in the playoff. Well, Ohio State lost to a team that was in the discussion for the playoff. So if that doesn't eliminate them, I'm not sure what does. Never mind the fact that I just think it would be cool to have Penn State in the playoff, because they're a damn entertaining team to watch. I mean, they fall behind, they come back, they have terrific wide receivers, they have a really interesting young quarterback in Trace McSorley, who gets the ball out quickly and throws, isn't afraid to throw the ball down the field to these guys. You know, they're a fun team to watch, and it would be fun to have them play, you know, in a national semifinal. So, you know, look, any result other than Alabama storming to victory in these two games is going to be a shock. And I would guess that everybody wants to see Alabama, Ohio State in the championship game. But, you know, I would have liked to have seen Penn State there. Not forget the Sandusky stuff and the background and all that. Just from a pure entertainment standpoint, it would have been cool to see that particular team in the playoffs.
And Mike, I should mention, I am a Penn State alum, so I'm a little biased on this one. And speaking of Penn State, your buddy Kevin Cooney, at least I think Kevin is still your buddy. I hope he is. Kevin had a good thought on Sunday when he asked, would you rather go into the playoff as the number 4 ranked team and get trounced by Alabama, or go to the Rose Bowl and play USC and maybe get a win and finish the season on a real high? That is something to think about. Don't you agree?
You go to the playoff. You go to the playoff every day and twice on Sunday.
Amen, brother.
You know,
yeah.
You don't.
I knew you'd say
look,
that.
What happens? What happens if you lose to USC? First of all, you know, that's the first thing. And then second of all, you know, I don't know that there's a drawback to playing in the national semifinal. I guess the example you'd use, well, Michigan State got trounced in the national semifinals last year, and they had a lousy season this year. Well, you know, I would chalk that up more to, you know, they didn't have as good a team, period. You know, they were really good last year with a good senior quarterback in Connor Cook, and so they're not as good this year. I don't think it has anything to do with them getting beat 31-0 in the national semifinals last year. So if I'm Penn State, you know, I go to the national semifinal and I take my chances against Alabama.
I hear you.
Yeah, Mike, I tell you, the thing that bothered me the most about the whole arrangement was here, even Alabama, who's obviously the favorite, had to play a championship game, and the other two, Clemson and Washington, were kind of, you know, everything was on the line for them. If they lost, they were out. And here's Ohio State getting a pass, you know, having a bye week when they didn't even win their side. And to me, the system's broke and it needs to get fixed, because the other part of that is people want to say Penn State won that game on a blocked punt. Well, they didn't watch the game, because the Penn State defense dominated that Ohio State front line like nobody in this country has. So, to me, it's a farce.
Yeah, you know what? Here's the thing. College football really thrives on controversy, it seems. I mean, we're saying the same things about the 14 playoff that we said before the 14 playoff came into existence. And I'm sure we'll be saying them until they expand it to 8, and I'm sure we'll be saying the same thing until they expand it to 16. I don't know what the correct answer is. I really don't. I'll be honest, guys, I like college football sometimes, but the games are so long. And the quality of play, you know, in years past anyway, maybe not this year, but compared to the NFL, it seems to me so inferior. I don't get into it in a way that I get into the NFL or many other sports. Now, I didn't go to a Penn State or an Ohio State. I went to LaSalle. We didn't have football when I was there. It was not part of my college experience in a way that it is for a lot of alumni, university alumni around the country. But to me, I don't get as worked up about it. You know, if to me, I look at it and say, hey, controversy is part of what college football's brand is. It's getting, you know, Michigan people arguing with Ohio State people, arguing with Penn State people, and all that kind of stuff. It's part of how they sell the sport.
Well, you know, and it's funny that you feel that way because I, other than the Eagles, I have drawn to the other side. I watch college football from noon to midnight on Saturdays on 3 TVs and then watch the Eagles. And I've gotten to the point, you know, when there was the Barry Sanders and them guys running around and Walter Payton's, I would love to watch those guys. But to me, the NFL doesn't have the splash anymore that it used to. And I've drifted way more to the college side. So, you know, just a matter of opinions.
Yeah, everybody's different. You know, I do think the NFL, has run the risk, and maybe there's been some evidence of it this year, of kind of diluting the product. You know, do we really need Jacksonville and Tennessee on Thursday night in prime time? I can remember back in 1988 when I was 13 years old and in seventh grade, the Eagles were going to play the Giants on Monday Night Football, and it was the first time the Eagles had played on a Monday night in 4 or 5 years. I can't remember to this day being more excited about a football game leading into that because Monday night was such a big deal. And the Eagles, you know, I've been watching the Cowboys and the Bears and the Steelers and the 49ers and all these other teams on Monday night, and now I get a chance to watch my team on Monday Night Football, and it's going to be great. And that part of it is really gone. With the exception of a Super Bowl or a national championship game, the anticipation that you get, the occasions, let me put it this way, the occasions where a sporting event is really an event are fewer and farther between nowadays, clearly, than they used to be.
Oh, I agree. And speaking of college football, let's jump over and talk Temple Owls for just a minute. And Matt Rhule, you know, has moved on to Baylor, and he's getting beat up by the Temple faithful as well for leaving. And to me, it's economics 101 for Matt Rhule. He had an opportunity probably to, you know, double, triple, whatever, his salary. And it was a deal where he had to just go take care of his family.
Oh, absolutely. If there are Temple people who are upset with Matt Rhule for leaving for Baylor, then they have, you know, a far, you know, wilder and less realistic view of college football than they do when it comes to trying to build a stadium on their campus in North Philadelphia and thinking that's
right.
A good thing. You know, this is crazy. I mean, come on. If you're Matt Rhule, you make this jump without a second thought. You know, as my colleague David Murphy, you know, who writes for Philly.com and the Philadelphia Daily News, wrote in a column that's on our website tonight. You know, he said Temple, you know, Baylor might be the Temple of Texas college football, but that's still better than being the Baylor or the Texas of Philadelphia college football. I mean, that's, you know, this is not a comparison. It's, you know, and the idea, I mean, look, this is the limitation of what Temple is. They're not a Power 5 school. At the moment, it doesn't seem any of the Power 5 leagues want Temple in their league. So they're going to have to deal with this. They're going to have to deal with a guy like Al Golden, you know, building the program up and leaving after 4 or 5 years. And the same thing with Steve Adazio and the same thing with Matt Rhule. And, you know, sometimes there are good jobs in college football, and sometimes there are guys who turn places into good jobs for a while. Nobody would argue, for instance, that Rutgers is a really good job. But that doesn't mean you can't be Greg Schiano and go there and win and parlay that into a head coaching job with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Temple is one of those places. There are certain limitations. You know, some of it is geographical. Some of it is cultural. Some of it is just the campus itself. And if you can go there and succeed the way Matt Rhule did, good for you. And chances are you're going to go parlay that into something bigger and better because that's the way the game works. I get the sense that these Temple people think they're looking for their next Joe Paterno, a guy who's going to stay at Temple for 45 years, and it just ain't going to happen.
Yep. Yeah, we'll see who they replace Matt Rhule with. It's going to be interesting. Hey, the 76ers don't have a lot of wins just yet. They're 4-18, I think. But it's certainly been fun watching Joel Embiid on the nights that he plays. Are you liking what you're seeing from JoJo, and do you think that he and Okafor will be able to play together?
I love what I see from Embiid. I don't like what I see from Okafor. Assuming Nerlens Noel comes back healthy and can play, if I were the Sixers, I would do everything I could to move Okafor. Because I think Noel is a better fit for
Embiid. I'm with you,
Mike. I'm with you. Yeah, I think Noel is a better fit for Embiid. He's a better fit for the modern NBA. He's a better rebounder than Okafor is. It's not even close. And if Embiid stays healthy, he is the cornerstone of your franchise for the next 10 years. I saw a metric. I forget if it was ESPN or another kind of sports statistical site that put this out, but based on the Sixers' performance this season, with Embiid and without Embiid, if they play all their games this season without Embiid, they would be prorated to win 25 games. They'd go 25-57. If Embiid were to play every game and do what he's done so far, they would go 42-40, which means that they would probably be a playoff team right now if Joel Embiid were playing every single game and playing 30 to 35 minutes a night. That, you know, if that holds up and Embiid's foot stays strong and the navicular bone doesn't break again and he doesn't have any further problems, it's really kind of a validation, I think, of what Sam Hinkie did. The whole idea of you have to be bad to increase the odds that you get a transcendent player. And I really believe Joel Embiid can be, if he's not already, a transcendent player in this league. And that's the thing that gives you the opportunity to be great. It's why the Cleveland Cavaliers didn't suddenly get smart after years and years and years of being among the dregs of the NBA. They happened to get the number one pick in 2003 when a kid from Akron, Ohio, just 30 miles up the road, happened to be the number one pick in the draft and happened to be the greatest player in the league since whoever, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, whatever. And they got doubly lucky in that after he left, he decided to come back. And so, you know, the Cavaliers didn't get smarter than everybody. They just got LeBron James. And that's what the Sixers, it seems, might have done with Joel Embiid. They got themselves a guy who looks like he can be a transcendent player. And if they can fill in the gaps around him with the right kind of players, and I like some of the pieces they have. I think Saric has a lot of promise. I think Nick Stauskas has taken a major step forward this year. It doesn't mean you keep him for the long term, but it does. It is a good sign. You know, if you can fill in around him, and we haven't even seen what Ben Simmons can do yet, you know, that's promising. And, you know, like I said, if Okafor is in the way, you do what you can to move him, assuming Noel can come back and give you the kind of defense and rebounding and shot blocking that he'd been giving you the last couple of years.
Well, Mike, we're taking you all the way around the Philly sports world. Let's hit you up on a Flyers question before we're through. Six-game winning streak, now just 2 games out of first place in the Metropolitan, or 2 points out of first place. Is this just a tease, or do they have a chance of being okay?
I think they have a chance of being okay. You know, it's funny. I was talking about this with somebody earlier today. Just for kicks and giggles, I do this every now and again. I logged on to YouTube last night. And I go back and watch old Flyers games to kind of see what the team looked like years ago or 2 years ago or 4 years ago, just to kind of compare and contrast. And I called up game 6 of the Flyers' first round series against the Rangers. They lost that series in 7 games, but they won game 6 to tie the series and send it back to New York. And some of the names on that roster were guys I had completely forgotten about, like Eric Wellwood. Eric Gustafson scored a goal in that game. And it's like they were holding that roster together with scotch tape and Elmer's glue, you know, just trying to find anybody who could play below that first line of Giroux, Voracek, and Simmons. Well, look at their roster now. They've got, you know, a terrific young forward in Travis Konecny. You've got a terrific young defenseman in Ivan Provorov, who's been playing better and better and better since the first week of the season. Their goaltending, it seems for right now, part of the reason they've gone on a 6-game winning streak is that Steve Mason has gotten himself right, and he's played a whole lot better. He played terrific last night in that win over Florida. And that was a big issue early on. Yeah, they have depth issues, and yeah, they have issues on defense. But the goaltending, Mason in particular, seems to have straightened himself out. And so, yeah, I think they can compete for a playoff spot. And more importantly, you look at that roster and you see guys who should be around a while and who should get better. Konechny, Provorov, you know, Wayne Simmonds, his game has grown and grown since he's been here, and he's not going anywhere. You know, Braden Schenn has played well lately. He's not going anywhere. So, you know, if you're the Flyers, and you got to feel okay right now. You do. Doesn't mean they're going to compete for a Stanley Cup, but it does mean that you have more reason to feel good about the future. It's not just, hey, let's get into the playoffs and see what happens. It's, hey, we could make the playoffs, and we're going to bring back a lot of these promising young players, and they're going to be here for a while, and they're going to continue to get better. And we have prospects within the system who we can continue to bring up and, you know, kind of, you know, keep the pipeline going.
So, Mike, in closing, can you grant my Christmas wish and tell me things will be better on the Philly sports scene next year at this time?
I think they are going to be better. I think once Ben Simmonds comes back, you know, once he starts to play for the Sixers, I think once, you know, as the Flyer season goes along, I think they'll get a little bit better, you know, with each game. I really do believe that. I'm curious to see what Anthony Stolarz does, you know, the young goalie they called up last week. As far as the Eagles go, the season is lost, and like you guys, I'm curious to see what happens over the final 4 weeks, whether they spit out the bit or whether they kind of pull themselves together and play respectable football over the next four games. But, you know, and the Phillies are going to be curious again this year too. You know, more young players, chance to see guys like Nick Williams and J.P. Crawford and see what Tommy Joseph can do in a bigger role, you know, those sorts of things. So, you know, look, if there's one thing you guys know, it's that we in Philadelphia, you know, we're not patient by nature, but I think we've gotten a little more patient in the last few years because these franchises have taken steps that they needed to take for a long time. You know, they took a step back to go forward. They've said, hold on, we're not going to keep running on that hamster wheel and going nowhere. You know, we're going to try to take a step back to go forward. It's going to take time. We're going to try to make smarter decisions. I think at least three of the four teams are doing that. I'm not so sure about the Eagles, but, you know, the jury's out.
Awesome job, Mike.
Yep.
Well, thanks, Mike, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, just how about before you go, how about we make ourselves a date? We'll mark our calendars to the closest Wednesday to Pearl Harbor Day 2017. We'll come back and we'll review this and see how much we've improved.
Sounds good. I don't claim to be Nostradamus, but, you know, we'll see how that goes. That would be fun.
All right.
Have a good holiday season.
Appreciate you joining us as always.
You too, fellas. Thanks.
Okay.
Take care, Mike.
Great stuff, Chet. We went around the horn with Mike and covered all kinds of Philadelphia sports. So good stuff.
He sure
did. He always can cover such a wide range of things. Great guy to have on. All right. Well, hey, it's trivia time. We will be giving away a signed 8x10 photo of Eagles Hall of Famer Maxie Bond, courtesy of Carl's Cards and Collectibles, to the first person who can call and correctly answer our trivia question. The shopforkisses.org phone line to answer that trivia question is 929-477-2855. And, Chet, I guess we'll go ahead and tell the listeners that if you knew it when you read it, they certainly should.
Exactly. Easy.
All right. Okay. This Flyer is presently second on the team in goals, second on the team in assists, second on the team in total points, and second on the team in penalty minutes. Can you name them? All right.
So
this Flyer is presently second on the team in goals, second on the team in assists, second in total points, and second on the team in penalty minutes. Can you name them? You were saying?
I said it's easy. So if you're a Flyers fan, even a casual Flyers fan, and you've been watching the games a little bit or, you know, seeing the highlights, you're going to know this one.
Yeah, it can only be probably one of three people. So, all right, let's thank our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. By logging on to www.shopforkisses.org's website, you become connected to over 3,000 stores, including all the big ones you already shop at. Every purchase made gets you cash back, and each purchase benefits the Kisses for Kyle Foundation, which helps families dealing with childhood cancer throughout the Delaware Valley. If you have any questions, contact Bob Sullivan at bobsullivan.com. shopcom@gmail.com or give him a call at 484-319-8043. It's Fred and Butter time with our special guest, Fred Hugo, joining us to provide a breakdown of this week's NFC East games. And, of course, we tossed in an odd one on him this week. So, Fred, welcome back. And the Eagles let us down again this week. But how did we fare?
I was there, and it was brutal. But we all went 2-2. Oh, man, it was all the crap I was talking before the game, and then they're nice fans down there. It was a fun time. But, yeah, we went 2-2 across the board. The Cowboys should have lost that one. I put my faith in Sammy Sleeves there, and he failed on me again. I gave him a shot. But we're at standing-wise. We got me and you are tied, Bill, at 26-16-1, 10 games above 500. And, Chet, you're only 5 games behind at 21-21-1. So there's still a shot for, me and you up in the air, Bill, but I think, Chet, you can still make a run.
I'm still at 500. I'm going to make my run now, the final 4 weeks.
There you go.
There we go.
All right. Well, Fred, this week we got Cowboys-Giants. We're tossing in the Seahawks at the Packers, which should be a good one. And, of course, we have the Redskins at the Eagles. Take it away.
All right. The Cowboys are 11-1, traveling to Giants Stadium. The Giants are 8-4. Cowboys are 3-point favorites in this one. I think this game, it's kind of comes down to whatever game goes for Dallas. Will the Dallas offensive line dominate? They have a solid matchup against the Giants defensive line, who's pretty good. I'm not sure. I'm going to look to see if Eli can make plays against the Dallas D. That's okay. But one matchup I was looking at is Dak Prescott versus Landon Collins. Landon Collins has seemed to be reading the quarterbacks well, and we'll see if he'll be able to make some plays here, maybe cause a few turnovers. I read a stat that Dak has not lost a road game in his entire collegiate nor pro career, and I think that streak's going to continue. I think the Dallas wins this one 31-20.
Ooh. All right. The Giants are the only team to beat the boys this season. As we know, that was way back in week one in Dallas. Both teams are much better than they were in early September. This is not a must-win for either team, but the Cowboys do want to extend that 11-game win streak and move closer to locking up home field advantage for the NFC playoffs. And the Giants, meanwhile, want to hold on to that top wild card spot at the very least. So there is something at stake for both teams for sure. This one could certainly go either way, but unlike Fred, I think the Giants will take care of Dallas' offensive line, and the Giants will knock off the Cowboys for a second time this season. I am taking the G-men 24-20.
Well, Chet, you scare me, because this is the week I think that the Cowboys are going to go down as well. I think the Giants at home, this is a Sunday night game, is it not?
It is.
It is. So they'll be playing for that. The Giants are in the playoff hunt. I can't believe that I would actually pick the Giants because, you know, I think their quarterback is a fraud. But I'm going to go G-men in this for an upset.
There we go. And I take my one-game lead here after
mm-hmm.
that one. All right, the next game we have Seattle travels to Green Bay. Seattle is 8-3 as a 3-point favorite. Green Bay is 6-6, winning their last two after Aaron Rodgers made the statement that they were going to run the table. Seattle has Earl Thomas out for the year, which is going to be a good matchup to see how the Green Bay reacts to that if they're going to try to move the ball in that mid zone that Earl Thomas tends to like to cover. I don't think Green Bay's won the last two. They look good, but the teams they've beaten aren't really looking that good either. Russell Wilson is on fire. I think he'll shred the Green Bay defense. I got the Seahawks taking this one 31-27, high-scoring game at Lambeau.
Well, Fred, as you know, the Eagles helped the Pack get back on track, like my rhyming there. And they've won a couple in a row since then. I know Earl Thomas is out for Seattle, which will help Aaron Rodgers and company, but Seattle seems to kick it into gear when the calendar turns to December. So This should be a pretty good game. I'm going to go with the visiting Seahawks, just like Fred. I'm taking it 24-20, Seattle.
Well, I guess this is where I start to make my move to run away from you, Fred Hugo.
Uh-oh.
Because after watching live with my own eyes the Aaron Rodgers destruction of the Philadelphia Eagles, I told you going down to Atlanta I didn't ever like to pick against him, and I am not going to pick against him. At home, I'm taking the Pack.
Ooh.
That could be big. That could be big. And now we got our Eagles game of the week, the Washington Redskins traveling to Philadelphia. The Redskins are 6-5-1, 1-point favorites against the 5-7 Eagles. Redskins have lost two in a row, and the Eagles, as we know, have lost three in a row. What we saw last week was just, it looked like, well, the week before, the coach basically came out and said they were rebuilding. And in my opinion, the players responded by not really showing up the following week. The Eagles are 0-3 in the division. The Redskins have won four in a row in the season series. In Wentz's last nine games, he's really starting to look like a rookie, which he should. He has 7 touchdowns, 11 picks, and 13 turnovers. I picked them to be 8-8 in the beginning of the year, and they're starting to look like that. I read another stat that the Eagles have the last nine games have not scored more than 2 touchdowns, Reuben Frank, and that hasn't happened in 18 years. So I think that it's going to come down to getting back to simple football and just running the ball and then stopping the run. If the Eagles can stop the run, which I think they will, I don't think the Redskins will go for 200 yards again. I think they can win this one. I got the Eagles pulling this out in a close one, 24-21.
Whoa. All right, guys. Remember last year when the wheels really started coming off the Eagles season late November when they got crushed by Tampa Bay at the Link, and then 4 days later they got embarrassed in Detroit on Turkey Day? Of course you remember that. Remember also that the next game they played was 10 days later when they shocked the world and beat the Patriots up in New England. Will we see a stunning turnaround by the Birds this weekend after these latest two embarrassing losses? It would be nice, but I can't in good conscience make that prediction. Sorry, guys. My guess is the Redskins win this one 27-17. Sorry.
Well, you know what, Chet? That's why you're in last place.
You may be right. You're picking the Eagles too, huh?
I am picking the Eagles, and I'll tell you why. And you know I like the Redskins. You know, I think they're an explosive offense when they don't throw the ball to the wrong team. And I think they'll put up some points, but I'm going to tell you, there is nothing worse for an athlete than to be called out. And the Eagles have been called out on many of their players have been called out for their effort. The coaches have been called out. Everybody's basically been called out. And my thinking is they are going to man up. And if they don't man up and win this game, then they probably don't win again the rest of the year. So I'm going to say the heart of the athlete of the Philadelphia Eagles is going to show up this Sunday. I'm taking Eagles 31-27.
Well, I hope you guys are right. I'd like to see the Eagles win, so I'm kind of rooting against myself in that one.
Just to let you guys know, if my picks go 3-0, we're right back in the playoff race again, by the way.
Oh, really?
Okay,
I'm not going to get my hopes up.
We're
not
going.
My hopes up.
They're not going. They're going 8-8, but they'll be back in it if that goes the way I said it. But
all right, we'll see what happens, Fred.
We will find out. Well, Fred, hey, another great job. You're going to stick around for just a minute. We're going to talk a little Sixers with you, but I think we have a trivia caller.
I believe we do. Let's see who's on the line with us here on Philly Press Box Radio.
Hi, guys. This is Robbie.
Hey, who's this?
That is Robbie Ellis.
Yes, it is.
Hello, Robbie.
Hi. I think I'm not a big hockey expert, but I think you're talking about Travis Konecny, one of the young guys.
It is not Travis Konecny.
Oh, it's not. See, I told you I didn't know anything about that.
It is a young guy, but not as young as Travis Konecny.
Yes. What's that?
It is a young guy, but not as young as Travis.
Not Konecny. Oh, okay.
I was pulling for you, Robbie. I was really pulling for you. Oh, well.
Yeah, I thought I knew it. See, I should stick to football.
Hey, Bobby, what is your what's your Eagles prediction? Are they going to bounce back and win this one on Sunday, or are they going to, you know, lose
you
out
know,
now?
I thought they were going to do that the last 2 weeks, and
yeah, I know,
you
me
know
too.
My heart is telling me, but I don't know. We had the Packers here at home. My gut is telling me it's going to be the Redskins. My gut is telling me it's probably going to be like, I don't know, 24-10, something
Ooh,
like that.
Yeah, I had to pick the Redskins.
Yeah.
Had to do it.
Yeah, I can't, until I see otherwise, guys, I can't see it. And until they prove to me that they can bounce back. And they haven't against two teams with losing records. That it, they came in with, real, you know, 3-7-1. The Bengals never even resemble an NFL team usually. That's just, you know.
Yeah, this year they've been bad,
do?
But.
Oh, yeah.
We well, Bobby, we hope you are wrong.
I hope I'm wrong, too. But I do think the Giants are going to upset Dallas.
Okay.
Well, I hope you're right on that one.
Yeah, I hope
all right, Robbie. Well, hey, appreciate you calling, and we'll get the next one.
All right, hon. Bye-bye, guys.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, hey, Chet, we're going to keep Fred on a minute because I wanted to bring this up. I know Fred is a big Sixers fan, and he actually spends money on those guys. So we were going to talk about this last week. We never got to it. So let's get to Brett Brown. And he's had a free pass ever since he got here due to the process. But he is 47 and 199 leading into this season. And, Fred, let's start with you. Is Brett Brown the answer, or is Brett Brown part of the problem at this point?
I don't think we can answer the question yet, unfortunately. I mean, it takes a lot for the guy to even go through this. I don't know how – he couldn't have known it was going to be this long because his record basically is going to be below 500. He could go on to win NBA titles, and his record probably will be below 500. So just watching him, I've been very – I was very supportive of Brett Brown, but as you watch it go, he continues. It seems to make just dumb coaching errors that we disagree with. Like the simplest thing is when he switches Embiid and Okafor out, fine. You don't want to play them together or see how it is. I understand the defensive liability and why you wouldn't do that, though I disagree you should just try it. But when Okafor is in there, the play should be give the ball to him on the block. There shouldn't be guards dribbling around, not giving Okafor the ball. So I just don't understand different things. And with 2 minutes to go, there's been turnovers and errors. But then you go back to his roster, and if he had a veteran point guard that's on the floor, and if they had Simmons playing point guard on the floor, would things be different? So I really don't think we can determine it, unfortunately, yet.
Yeah,
well,
I'm with
I'll
you,
tell
Fred.
You, Chad, I was going to throw out there just because I did some quick math and added this this year in there. He's 51-217 with a winning percentage below 19%.
Okay, but you got to consider the roster has pretty much stunk the last 3+ years. I don't think Red Auerbach would have won many more games with this roster. There's been a lot of criticism of Coach Brown, and frankly, I've given him some of that criticism at times. Now, I said some of this last week maybe, but he only recently began to even try to play Embiid and Okafor together. Not sure why it took so long. His player rotation otherwise comes into question quite often. And granted, some of his players aren't exactly all-stars. But again this season, the Sixers have had so much trouble closing out games when they've had a late lead. I know that's not all on the coach, but they just look disorganized some of the time, and that's definitely on the coach. So he's got to do a better job, to quote Andy Reid. But let's give him the season. Let's see what happens when Ben Simmons is in the lineup. Then come April or May, we'll have a much better collection of data to figure out if he is the right guy to coach this team or not. I think once we see Simmons out there and they figure out what they're doing with, you know, Nerlens and Okafor and Embiid together and all that, you know, hopefully he'll sort it out and get the right mix on the court. And I think we're going to see a better team in March and April than we're seeing right now. I know we're going to. So, you know, give them the year, and then we'll make some real judgments.
Well, and I'll throw out there that from my take on it is they're either going to have to commit to him long term. They can't have him on a year for a year. Let's wait and see. We're either going to have to buy in and let him finish this thing out and let him develop them into getting good. you know, I don't know what his contract is, but maybe give him a five more years and say, okay, let's play this thing out. Because if you put him on a year-to-year, I think that the short leash just chokes the rest of the process, if you will.
I agree with you on that, Bill, because I think if he's a lame duck coach and they can get rid of him, he's going to start to lose the locker room and lose the respect of what they're saying, because they know he's probably not going to be here. So, yeah, I agree with you on that point as well. And Chet.
And they probably owe it to him to keep him just for what he's endured it up to this point.
I would feel that
and
way.
And you know what? I'm gonna agree with Mike. You know, Mike said this. I think that we should keep Nerlens Noel over Okafor and get something in return for Okafor, because I think it would be a better fit, because then you got a good defensive guy in Nerlens who can also rebound, because you're going to get enough scoring, I think, once Simmons is there, and, again, assuming Embiid is healthy. So I'd be okay with trading Okafor for, you know, something high quality, because you're going to get something pretty decent in return. So I would like to see what happens if they went with Noel and Embiid as the two big guys.
You're not going to believe it, Chet. I've actually flip-flopped on that, and I'm leaning that way as well, just because I don't think Brett Brown knows how to play them on the court, but it does depend on what we get for Okafor, because I think he'll be a potentially all-star every other year, every couple years, and if they don't, you can't just give him away for nothing. But, yeah, I'm starting
exactly
to flip-flop the other way.
All right, Fred. Well, hey, appreciate it, and we're going to move on. We'll talk to you next week. We'll be ready to for you to relinquish the lead.
Great show, guys. Talk to you next week.
Okay, Fred.
Thanks.
Hey, Chet. Let me jump in.
Let me jump in, Bill. We still are looking for an answer for the trivia question. The question, again, the Flyer we're looking for. We're looking for a Flyer who is presently second on the team in goals, second in assists, second in total points, and even second on the team in penalty minutes. Who is this player? If you know the answer, call us at 929-477-2855. Again, 929-477-2855.
Very good. Hey, Chet, let's jump on this Flyers thing for just a second, because the other thing we were holding over till last week, and Mike touched on it very briefly, but I know this is really right up with your favorite subject on the Flyers goaltending. Steve Mason is playing really well now. Michael Neuwirth is hurt. Stolle, the goalie, has gotten one opportunity. He won that game. I know you're not a big Mason guy. Can they hang on with him, or are you ready to do something?
It's a tough question because, you know, Mason is playing really well right now. I do agree. He's won five in a row, goals against of, I think, 1.74 over those five wins that he's earned. Stolarz was okay in the start that he got. He got the win, got a lot of offense to help him out. You know, I'd like to see Stolarz get another couple of opportunities, but at the same time, in hockey, they tend to go with the hot goalie, so they're going to keep riding Mason until he has a bad outing or two, I would think. So it's going to be interesting to see what Coach Hakstol does here. I believe they do have another back-to-back coming up fairly soon, so maybe then you'd throw Stolarz in for one of those games. But, you know, I do hope this is the real Steve Mason, because I'm sure he's going to have a lull here and there, but if you can get this kind of play out of him come April and May, then you're looking at a potential playoff run. So, yeah, I've criticized Steve Mason, but I love the way he's been playing lately. He made some great saves the last couple of games, so I hope he keeps it up.
Well, I think not only have you criticized Mason, you wanted to run him out of town pretty much, I think, if I recall right.
Oh, well. maybe. At times, yes. At times.
But, you know, I saw an interview with Mason just today, and you know, he wants to play. You know, like they say, a running back doesn't get good until he gets 20 or 25 carries. Well, Mason is saying, I want to play, I want to play, I want to play, I want ice time. So it certainly has proven itself, at least at this point, unless it's a stroke of luck, that the more playing time he's getting, the better he's playing.
Yeah, and like I said, I hope he, you know, does keep it up. I think he's got the talent for the most part, so let's see what happens. And by the way, just speaking of the Flyers, how about Wayne Simmons, a potential all-star this year? He's having a great year. Got the game winner last night in overtime. Or no, that was Voracek last night. But, yeah, Simmons is having a really good year. They're getting some good balance. I think the defense in front of Mason has started to pick it up a little bit. The job Provorov did last night was very impressive, trying to contain Yager and those guys, the ageless Jaromir Jagr. So it's not just Mason. It's the guys around him are playing a little better too.
Well, yeah, but you know, it's interesting because I looked this up today as I was digging for a trivia question, that if you look at the plus minus, which is a pretty important stat in hockey, the only guys on the Flyers roster with a plus is Michael Raffel with a 5, Brandon Manning with a 1, and Andrew McDonald with a 0. There's a couple others in there, 0 and 1, but pretty much
really?
Everyone is negative. Simmons minus 6, Voracek or minus 5, Voracek minus 6, Shen minus 5, Strite minus 7. That's not good. They got to fix that.
Yeah, they do. And I think, you know, it doesn't count when you get a power play goal. That doesn't affect and give you a plus. So, you know, you got to keep that in mind. They've done pretty well on the power play for the most part. But, yeah, even strength, they've had their struggles here and there. So, something to keep an eye on for sure. I'm surprised at those numbers, frankly.
Yeah, I was too. That's why, you know, I thought I'd bring them up because I was surprised and something to keep an eye on moving into January. All right,
when
Jed,
I'll start
hey,
watching a little more, yep.
That's right, yeah, right, when you become a hockey fan. Well, hey, Chip Brady, Play It Like a Raven, is this week's Philly Press Box Radio Pick-A-Pool winner again for the second time in the last few weeks with a 12-3 record beating out Terry House and Pittsburgh boy in a tiebreaker. Is that Pittsburgh boy Denny Malloy?
That would be him, Bill, although he's really a Western Maryland guy. I guess it sounds better to say Pittsburgh boy than Western Maryland guy. I don't think geography was Denny's best subject.
Well, I was really planning to just kind of leave his name off of here, but it said Pittsburgh boy. But then I thought if it was Malloy, by God, we need to expose him for what he is.
Hey, he came close at least, which is more than I can say for myself this season.
Hey, in the season standings to win that signed Eagles Reggie White mini helmet after 13 weeks, Dave Capper is the leader by the narrowest of margins, actually 0.6% of 0.6 of a percentage point over Gene McCann. Ed Chambers, Bill Hovis, Billy Furman are just 2 games back. There are 4 weeks left, Chet, and there are 13 players within 5 games. There's still time.
I wish everyone good luck. I'm out of it pretty much.
All right. We'll see. All right. Hey, Chet.
Should we talk about next week?
What's that? Yeah, we have 2 guests
lined up for
next week's show. Tell us.
Oh, man. This one deserves a drum roll, I think.
Nice.
So, you know, we get pumped up for every show that we do, unlike the Eagles. We give 100% effort every time out. But next week is a real special one, so I'm thinking maybe 110%, 120% for that one. Our very special guest next week is a first-timer in terms of Philly Press Box Radio, but he's someone that every Philly fan knows and loves. He's a guy who knows quite a bit about football, including the Eagles. He is a Super Bowl-winning coach, not with the Eagles, unfortunately. And he is a Philadelphia legend. By now, you've probably figured it out. Joining us will be none other than Dick Vermeil, and we can't wait. And, wow, that's going to be great. And, hey, our second guest is a good one, too. Why don't you tell our listeners who that might be, Bill?
Well, we're going to talk college football. We're going to talk specifically Penn State, and we're going to talk Temple as they go into their bowl game. We have the goon, Keith Conlon, former Penn State offensive tackle on the undefeated team, Rose Bowl champions. And so the goon, a local Philadelphia product, will be joining us from State College, along with Coach Vermeil. So we're going to talk football all over the place.
And I wonder if he'll give his reaction to Penn State not being in the college football playoff. I have a hunch he has an opinion or two on that.
He does have a very good opinion, and, well, I don't know if it's a very good. It's a very solid opinion. We'll find out if it's good
right.
or not. Because as you
all
can
right.
imagine, as a alumnus, he is not a happy Nittany Lion. Okay. Hey, Chad, our new website, PhillyPressBoxRadio.com, continues to grow. We've had over 8,600 visitors so far. And, again, we want to thank everyone for that. And it's amazing the response we've got. And www.PhillyPressBoxRadio.com.
Like a morning shower or a trip to Wawa for your coffee, you should make it a habit to check it out every day. You'll be glad you did, and you'll always find lots of great info, as you said, phillypressboxradio.com.
Keeping it fresh every morning, new stuff. All right, hey, Chet, let's get to our signing update of Carl's Cards and Collectibles. Eagles' Bo Allen will be in the store this Saturday. Also, Santa Claus will make his annual stop on Christmas Eve. Carl has announced the first signing of 2017 with the Chief. Flyers goalie Bobby Taylor comes to the store. And don't forget, you can have all of your Christmas framing done right there at Carl's Cards as well. It really makes your memorabilia look great. Carl puts out great stuff. So for all the details, go to our website, phillypressboxradio.com, and click on the Carl's Cards and Collectibles banner on the top to go directly to Carl's website for all the details, or stop by Carl's Cards and Collectibles at 22 West Eagle Road, Havertown, PA, or give Carl a call at 610-789-4996. You can also contact Carl on Twitter at Carl's Cards. And, Chet, before we get to our parting shots, because we're running out of time, I need to throw out a little self-promotion for my other side job. So some of you are aware that Matt Costine, Matt's the guy that built our website. We introduced him back a couple months ago. And him and I are the broadcast team for LG Braves Radio, the internet radio network of the Lake Gibson Braves football team. And presently the Braves are 13-0 and preparing to play in the Florida State 6A State Championship this Saturday at 3 p.m. in the Orlando Citrus Bowl, which is now known as Camping World Stadium. So if you have nothing to do Saturday and want to tune in starting at 2:45 p.m., go to www.lgbravesradio.com and click the play arrow, and it should be a blast. I think some of our loyal listeners are going to be there. Danny Bevins is going to be there. Adam and Samantha and Jessica are going to be there. Jim Lehner, my son Chris Furman will be there. So everybody's going to be in the house for that live, but I think you'll enjoy the game and enjoy listening to us tell it to you.
I know you're having a blast doing that all year, Bill, and I've heard a little bit of your work. You sound like you're having fun with it, and apparently your team's pretty good when they're 13-0 and playing for some titles and stuff, so it must be a blast.
It is. Good team we're going to see this week in Miami Carroll City, so they're ranked nationally, so but we're pretty good too, so let's play it.
Yep.
All right, Mr. Chesko, parting shot for you, my friend.
Well, Bill, I actually didn't prepare a formal parting shot this week, but then right before we went on the air, I jotted down a few notes. I just wanted to take a moment to give props to Matt Rhule and Temple University. All of us, as local sports fans, were thrilled to see how Rhule built up that program in his 4 years at Temple, finishing with back-to-back double-digit wins in 2015 and 16 that earned the Owls trips to bowl games and a top 25 ranking. We all would have loved to see him stick around, of course, but at the same time, he earned the bigger paycheck that he's getting from Baylor, and we wish him luck there. And I should add that Bill and I had the chance to talk with Matt last June at Dick Vermeil's annual golf outing, and it was easy to see why everyone speaks so highly of Matt Rhule. What a nice, down-to-earth, intelligent guy. And a nice job by Matt Rhule to take out a full-page ad in the Inquirer today to thank Temple University and Owls fans everywhere for their support. Temple's loss is Baylor's gain.
And I'm going to give a quick 10-second parting shot, Chet. If you've never been to the Army-Navy game, this year it's in Baltimore. Put it on your bucket list. When it comes back to Philly, it is a must-see for a football fan, whether you're college, pro, high school, or little league. It is must-see. We talked about that last year as well.
Yep.
Okay, Chet,
absolutely.
As we get to the top of the hour, let's thank our special guest, the Inquirer's Mike Sielski, Fred Hugo, Carl's Cards and Collectibles for their continuing support of the show, Mary Flanagan, our marketing extraordinaire behind the scenes, and our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. For Jim Chet Chesko, this is Bill Furman. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll join Philly Press Box Radio next Wednesday, December 14th, when Keith Conlon and Dick Vermeil join us. You can listen through our new website, phillypressboxradio.com, our Facebook page, or on the Internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/Philly Press Box Radio or on both iTunes and Stitcher. High hopes, Philadelphia sports fans.